Unfiltered. That was an event we held in Washington, D.C. during CSM in 2019. We had three PT leaders, Dr. Tim Fox from Fox Rehabilitation, Cole Galloway, who pioneered Go Baby Go, and one of my faves, Megan Brown, who owns Mind the Mat in Alexandria, Virginia. These three come at the profession from three very different directions, but all with a ton of passion. We recorded this episode live at, well, where else? A bar just down the street from CSM in 2019. And it makes the top 12 this year on PT Pinecast.
Start small. Start small. Take a risk. So if you fall flat on your face, what are you going to lose? You get up and dust yourself off, right? And you start over. It's not that bad. We've all gone through way worse in our lives. So start small. Be prepared to fail. Because the best things I've ever learned in my life are from my failures. It's part of maturity. The best lessons I've learned in my life are from my failures, and they hurt. They hurt really badly and cause me a lot of pain. But then I can sit back and relax and apply and reflect of what I've learned and just apply it to make my life better.
So this was something weird and different that we did. It was actually not my idea. It was Sky Donovan from Marymount University who came up with the idea for hashtag unfiltered event that we did just before CSM in Washington, D.C. She said, what if, and I love conversations that start off with what if. It's some of my favorite phrases. What if we could get a few speakers together and just invite 100 people to be in the audience? So it's limited, right? It's big, but it's small. And the speakers that we'd let talk all have something to say, but a lot of times when you go to professional conferences, there's this filter that needs to be on, right? You're a presenter. You're not having a conversation. There's no rant usually. There's not many rants, not constructive ones anyway, at professional conferences. So this was not an official CSM event. This was 100 people having drinks in a bar before CSM, and we invited up three different speakers, and I've had conversations with all of them candidly and professionally on my show and, you know, personally. And I know they all have something to say in terms of having something they're deeply passionate about that they'd like people to hear. But a lot of times when you put a microphone in someone's hand on a podcast or you put them on stage at CSM, they become a presenter, right? They're supposed to present. So a lot of times people play a little more safe. They play a little more down the middle. And that's not what this was about. Unfiltered was about having that filter taken off. So we had three speakers and it went Dr. Cole Galloway, who's launched the Go Baby Go movement. And he talks really unfiltered about how it could fail, how us not championing ideas like this could cause everything to fail. Love when Cole gets on a rant. We'll have some more from Cole as well coming up. Megan Brown, Dr. Megan Brown. She's somebody who is a friend of Marymount University. She is a physical therapist. I say that first. And then an entrepreneur and a leader and a rallier and someone who just gets fired up. And I like people who get fired up about stuff. She talks about owning exercise, how her dual role is as a physical therapist and entrepreneur who owns a Pilates studio, why physical therapists need to own exercise. She's fired up about that. You're going to hear that. And then we wrap up with Dr. Tim Fox, who 21 years ago launched a practice with a bunch of people in his ear saying, you can't do that. You're not allowed. You can't offer outpatient physical therapy under Medicare Part B to older adults in their home. You can't be the Uber of older adult PT. And he went and he read the Medicare rules and regs then and now, and he said, doesn't say I can't. In fact, if you read it, it says I can do it and I'm going to do it. And he did it. And he's been doing it for 21 years with Fox Rehabilitation. So he got up there and he wanted to just tear the cover off. So this was an invite-only event for 100 people. That's it. We had people win their way in and we stopped at 100. And great environment, great audience, but I did record it and we weren't going to release it because we wanted to keep that room special. And then I had more than a few of you reach out to me and say, hey, I had a friend who was there who said it was great, but I couldn't be there. Or people who were there who wanted to hear it again and kind of get inspired a second time. And then I thought, man, it would suck if someone really wanted to be there, but they couldn't afford to go to CSM or geography just wasn't allowed or timing or anything like that. So that's when we decided, hey, we got the recording, let's release it. So hashtag unfiltered. Those are the three speakers you're going to hear from. I hope you get inspired as well. Episode brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, single source for PTs who want to get certified in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Love when this hits mainstream, right? Zac Efron is recovering from an ACL reconstruction and he's talking about doing BFR. Now, I'm not saying like, hey, Zac Efron does it. I'm saying check out Johnny Owens' website, read the research. I'm just glad that mainstream is actually getting a taste of this idea of BFR. So if you want information about it, Johnny's got the research. research. And if you read some of the research, Johnny's authored the research, or members of his team as well. So check him out at owensrecoveryscience.com if you want to add this to your clinical practice. Also want to thank Fox Rehabilitation. They helped us put on Unfiltered at a really cool venue in downtown DC. So without Fox Rehabilitation, Tim Fox, and Dr. Kiar, this event wouldn't have happened. So just wanted to say thank you to Fox for helping us out there as well. And also another podcast, NPTE StudyCast. We launched that recently. It's a podcast that helps PT students study for the board exam. Short to the point episodes, between 3 and 9 minutes long. Each episode about just one pathology. Everything you need to know on Parkinson's disease, everything you know on ACL reconstruction rehab, everything you need to know osteogenesis imperfecta. We've got an episode for each thing, and we're always adding to it. All right, check it out wherever podcasts are heard. NPTE StudyCast. That is brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing. AureusMedical.com. All right, on to the episode. Here it is, #unfiltered.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're ready to get going. I want to note, show of hands, who is here tonight for their very first CSM? Wow. Very first CSM. How about someone who's the second? Hold them up high if you've done more than one. There you go. Good. More than one. Hold them up if you've been doing more than that. Three. Four. Four is legit. Five. Six. We still got strong. People getting tired in the audience. Seven. Eight. Nine. Robin's got her hand up. 10. 11. Robin's it. 11 right there. Let's hear it for Robin Kiar. Dr. Kiar from Fox Rehabilitation. Radio segue. Thank you to Fox Rehabilitation for providing the food and this lovely environment tonight. Let's hear it for Fox Rehabilitation. Yeah. And I want to say thank you because I literally wrote an email to Robin, who has the record in the room for CSMs attended, by the way. And the email was like, here's the deal. We want to do something a little bit different to kick off CSM. And they said, great. What do you want? I said, I need funding. And they're like, great, give us a reason. And then I'm a little bit, I don't know if you can tell, scattered at ADD, but I just wrote this email all in one shot. And I said, here's the problem with CSM that I see it. When you go to presentations, especially for your first time, you're in receive mode. Those PT students, right? You know what I'm talking about. You sit in class and you receive information, and then you go home, you Netflix and chill, you come back a few weeks later, you're tested upon that, and you regurgitate, right? I was like, that's not cool. The problem is, it's same here at CSM, where you're gonna walk among 17,000 of your colleagues, and I think that's fantastic. Right across the street, 17,000 physical therapists. There's a sign I saw tweeted by the APTA. This is the largest physical therapy conference in the country. They spelled world wrong. This is the largest physical therapy conference in the world. Think about that. The APTA has SIGs, not a section, a special interest group. They have SIGs that are larger than some countries have represented at the World Confederation of PT. I just want to put that thing in perspective. This thing's huge. So my problem was, and what I explained to Robin and Tim Fox is, I want people to interact, and I want the person in front, the person with the microphone, I don't want that to be the show. I want the show to be the audience. I want you to hear some inspiration. I want you to be inspired. Then I want you to fucking do something about it. Oh, he said the F word. You're not supposed to do that. The whole point is the people in the audience. I would like you to eventually, I will judge this event a success if I get an email or a tweet or a DM a year, two, three, four, five from now from one of you saying, I heard what you said. I heard what those speakers said. I felt something. I got pissed enough to do it. And now look what I did. Here's a link to this project I did. Or here's an intervention. Here's a class I launched. I helped someone else. That's the point. That's success to me. Let's clap for that. That's my nonverbal. That's success for this event. All right? So we're going to bring you three speakers. I'm gonna put it on the I'm gonna tell Siri to give me 15 minutes on the clock for each one of those three speakers. The thing they have in common is that they did something remarkable. And the goal is, I want you to hear their story I want you to feel something, and then I want you to do something about it. It's going to be energy from you. I'm going to need that. They're going to need that. So you ready to hear our first speaker? All right. So I wrote a big fancy intro for this guy, but I'm going to throw it out. I describe our first speaker as a pediatric Robin Hood. He saw a problem. No one was solving it. So he said, fuck you, I'm going to do it my way. And then he did. He saw children not have the ability to move. They were limited by the wheelchairs their parents couldn't afford. So he sent some students to a Toys R Us, an engineering student and a PT student, and he said, solve it. Don't come back until you do. And they did. The founder of Go Baby Go, professor at University of Delaware, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Cole Galloway. So you got 15 minutes on the board. I set the stage, right?
Yep.
The idea was unfiltered. We want to hear what you have to say about literally any topic you want inside the profession of physical therapy or out, wherever the profession might touch. What pisses you off is my first question. And what should we, the audience, do about it?
Well, first of all, thanks to the organizers. Thanks to people to come. You have a lot of choices in D.C. Now with the furlough taking off, you got lots of good parking. All the restaurants are, you know. What pisses me off, and if you mean an NPT, is that we don't really get it. Let me see the hands of the students again. If you're students, very cool. Hand for the students. Very good. Very good. Here's the trouble with. Let's start with students, and we'll go along. Students. You don't know enough of life experience. Educators, who's an educator out there? Raise those hands, all that wine. Yep. Educators don't know how to give you that experience. Clinicians in the audience, just straight, true blue clinicians. Where are all the clinicians? Clinicians treat in an impoverished environment. So we have a trouble, is that between the people that you care for and you're caring for people you're not. In the disability community, that's a bad thing. How many of you guys are immobile? None. Myself, I'm temporarily mobile. I'm not a kid, right? I'm not a kid. I treat and help kids. I'm not a caregiver. I advocate for caregivers all the time. I'm not really that much into neuroscience, but that's what my degree is in. I have all these knots. And for students out there, most of you guys are 20-something. If anybody into pediatrics, I'll pick on the pediatrics folks. Yeah, pediatrics in the house, I'm pediatrics, right? So pediatric students, you have one or two classes in peds. You typically have no kids. You're not a caregiver. All that stuff, things I'm not too. But yet very quickly, you're going to be in front of a mom advising her on how to take care of her child. That should seem very unsettling. That should seem like, that doesn't seem right. And you're gonna get paid to do that. So how can we decrease the distance between the people we care for and ourselves? How do we do that? Basically go hang out with them. I cannot emphasize enough that if we were to do that, if we could in education decrease that distance and go hang out with those clients that we purport to care about, if as educators we could educate you as students in that community, if as scientists we could study you in that community. So I'm with the new generation, the older generation, I really, really, really think if we can decrease that distance, we've got it. Neuroscience-wise, ask Dan, how do you build a big brain? He'd say enriched environment. That's the only way you really can do it. Enriched environment means exactly what we're doing right here. And those of you guys that have had the honor to work with neuro clients, traumatic brain injury, stroke, Parkinson's, kids with cerebral palsy, older folks with cerebral palsy, anything involving your brain and mobility, they only want one basic thing. Is the connection enough to have friends call them, the mobility enough to go out to the baby whale, the experience enough to be a little cooler than your friend, and that's what maintains friendships? If we can do that, we can give them that possibility, because Jennifer Tucker knows that the kids she works with are super cute, and by 4 years old, will almost never be invited to a birthday party outside of cousins, and that bothers her, and that's traumatic to her. And so it's not surprising that when she heard about Go Baby Go and making technology her own and getting it quickly there, she says, I'm in. It decreases the distance. I'm in. And that's what, when Jimmy was talking about Go Baby Go and sort of doing something, it really was, we have to do something to decrease that distance. Because I know the second I decrease the distance, it's over. The second I allow you or provide for you the ability to get into the real world. Now, who's the you I'm talking about? Who do we want to get into the real world? This is the magic. This is the magic takeaway from at least my little spiel, is the you in that, allowing you to enter the enriched environment of the real world, is students, meaning you have to be educated there. From the day one, you are not a big deal. The profession will tell you you are a big deal. Dress like you are a big deal. I'll show you that you've been lied to. We've all been lied to. If I said in the medical profession, how do you maintain objectivity? You have a certain what with the client? A professional distance. I'll give you one example to crush that. And then hopefully you'll be like, well, what else has I been lied to about? So if I have a professional distance from you, I'm not your family, I'm not your friend, you're a client with me, then I can make an objective decision. The trouble is, Jennifer and I work with Go Baby Go cafes. Basically, bodyweight supported harness systems placed into work environments, serving bagels and lattes and the mundane stuff that you might even not want to do. Our brain injury survivors know and feel deeply, if I can do that, I can reconnect, right? So we put you in that, and you maintain a distance, and your client's there. And a girl named Anne. Anne's allowed me to talk about her. She's in the research. I do participatory action research, which means I'm deeply involved with all the participants in my research. We said, hey, let's go different places and you talk about your own data. So those are graphs of you and Corey and Reston and the other survivors that are in the Go Baby Go Cafe. In 2 months of work, 3 times a week for 2 hours a day, what happened to her cognition, perception, action, socialization? She's a 17-year survivor of severe traumatic brain injury. She was in a coma and almost died. It wasn't magic, it was the mundane. So she's presenting, this is my data, and it's very hard for her because she can't stand and walk by herself. She looks a little different, she talks a little different, and the crowd did exactly what we knew. And somebody was like, but Anne, how can you be objective, right? Because you're on top of the research. It is about you and you're presenting that. Totally legitimate medical model question and research question. What did she say? I'm about to destroy it, that distance. Who would most want to get it right? Me with a brain injury or you studying brain injury? Right? Boom. The audience was like, destroyed. Wait a minute. Another blind spot. I talk about blind spots a lot. Things that piss me off, my own blind spots. Exoskeletons. Who knows what exoskeleton is, right? In neuro, it's a brace in ortho. Well, in neuro, we have to, highbrow it. It's an exoskeleton. So it's a brace. A lot of them are fancy, right? But it's a brace. And we had been using braces with adults and with babies, and we had a fashion designer. This is the take-home pay of add people to your audience that don't belong there. Diversity is a hotbed issue in the real world. Diversity needs to be an issue in the clinic world. Not because you're a big-hearted person, you want to include everybody, this brown, black, orange, this, that, and the other. No, because you're addicted to innovation and you want to actually provide clients with care. So Martha Hall came in. She's a fashion designer. Came into the lab, literally came into the lab and like, I saw you talk. I want to talk to you more about this stuff. And what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm a big deal. We do exoskeleton work. And her first thought out of her head was, why do you guys, medical establishment, PTs, Mr. Big, why do you guys put, I'm about to destroy another thing, right? Because at this point, you may be thinking, no. I kind of know stroke survivors. I know folks with back pain. I know women's health issues. This distance he's talking about, what are you talking about? So Martha said, back to the exoskeleton. She said, why do you put something on someone you purport to care about that you wouldn't be caught dead in? Now you're at a crossroads. Either A, you hire that person and say, you may never, ever leave, and you must stay in your own lane, or you say, I'm a big deal. You don't understand. So again, blind spots and bubbles are a big thing that separates us. Yeah, let me leave it like that. What else you think?
Last 60 seconds. What's your mic drop moment? What's the one thing that would define success for you from this room? What would you want to see when if you have a stroke 5, 10, 15 years from now, I don't want you to, but what these are the people that will be treating you. What do you want them armed with? What do you want them thinking and feeling and fighting for?
I want you to get to a position in your practice, and I know mainly neuro. So for those folks, if you work with those folks, or if you work with anybody in pain, which it really encompasses a lot, I think it's critical that you allow yourself to deeply feel. And that doesn't come without a cost. If you're working in PT and every year you're not having a mandated counseling session, at least one with someone to talk about the stress that you've built up, then you're probably not doing it right. So I'm talking about decreasing the distance between you and the client. I'm talking about empathizing and trying to feel. And if you don't understand, go understand. Have lunch with a client and say, tell me more about this thing you're doing. Take me through your guided life. I'd like to partner with you. Oh, here's another thing. Stop caring. Stop caring. Start collaborating. Don't care for people. Remember when you were interviewing? I just want to care for people. No, stop caring. In fact, do t-shirts that say, stop caring, right? People don't need care. They need collaborative, someone that takes a personal interest in them. If you're emotional about a client, if you're downhearted and depressed and stressed and anxious for a client, you are a professional collaborator. If you're into the science, the conferences, all that, without that tingle, you haven't found your jam. You haven't found your patient population. When you find that client population, open yourself up. That's what I'll need when you're my therapist. I'll need somebody that will stand behind me or beside me and go, what is it that you want to be now? And then you go out and you do every single thing you can. Hopefully, Jimmy, I hope.
Stop caring. Let's hear it for Cole Galloway. Stop caring. You didn't think you'd hear that. You didn't think you'd hear stop caring at a PT conference, though. I didn't think so, but collaborate. Cole Galloway, everybody. Love that.
This is the PT Pinecast.
That was Dr. Cole Galloway. Love hearing that guy talk. If you wanted more information, just Google Go Baby Go and you'll find Cole's information. You want to reach out to him. Get behind that movement. It literally is exactly where I think physical therapists need to be. Right on the border of technology and rehabilitation. That's what Go Baby Go is. Allowing PTs to do PT things for people who desperately need it. You know, children who desperately need it. Episode is brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. Letting you do what you want to do, where you want to do it, right? You have a license to practice physical therapy. That license allows you to go anywhere in the United States. Just get a license there and you can do it. So do what you want to do, where you want to do it. They have positions in all 50 states. Short term, you want to go somewhere and test it out. Maybe you're thinking about moving to the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, Hawaii. Yeah, Alaska. Yeah, Maine. Yeah, Florida. That's the big corners right there, right? You want to go and ski in the winter. You want to surf in the summer. You can do that as a physical therapist. Short term assignments, long term assignments. Check out what they have to offer online at AURUSmedical.com. That is AURUSmedical.com. They are the leader in travel physical therapy.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
All right, second speaker. This individual is an entrepreneur. She's a physical therapist. She owns her own business here in the DC area. And she's got a lot of conflicted thoughts. And when she starts them going, it's some interesting conversation. She's a physical therapist who questions who owns exercise and movement. Ladies and gentlemen, to the stage, it's your 15, Megan Bellamy Brown. Come on up. First thing I want, you got real pissed about at a conference last year. Who owns, because you're a hybrid. You're Pilates, you own a business, a Pilates establishment, business clinic.
It's a business.
But you're also a physical therapist.
Yeah, so it's kind of a clinic too.
Who owns exercise?
We do. Who's and that
we?
Pisses
you're,
me off.
You're two different people. I don't know who you are. Tell me more.
I am a physical therapist, and obviously we're always practicing at our highest level, which is physical therapy. And I kind of got pissed off in the beginning that I didn't feel like I had enough exercise experience once I graduated. And then I pursued Pilates, a Pilates certification. And I had a great boss, and my boss took me in as I'd been a PT for about 3 years. I'd been in neuro. I loved neuro. And then once I got into Pilates, I actually realized, well, wait, I kind of love orthopedics, and I never thought I would say that. So I found a place that would take me in. He was looking for a Pilates-trained physical therapist. I was looking for someone who would teach me some shit, and it worked. So when the clinic was closed, he let me rent space for like a mere $40. So I was able to figure out that all I needed was space, and I could teach exercise, and everyone was eating it up. So the first day I offered this Pilates class, people were coming in and they were like, well, what do you mean it's full? And I was like, yeah, it's full. Like, people pre-registered, it's full now. And so what I saw that was there was a need. There was a need for an expert to teach exercise, general group exercise.
But the APTA says we're already movement experts. So why wasn't a PT already filling that space? Where was that PT?
Nowhere back then. And I didn't understand why. So I thought, hey, from an entrepreneurial perspective, I can teach one Pilates class, charge $18 per head. I can't do the math. I had like 20 people. And so I made more money in that 1 hour teaching Pilates than I did the entire day working, seeing 15 patients. What I figured out is we have been set up to be experts and to own group fitness, because everyone came to that class because they were like, wait, I'm injured, I had a bunionectomy, or I have neck pain, or I have back pain, but my exercise teacher is a physical therapist. So already, talk about safe space, they felt safe. And so I thought, this is an idea where all I need is space. All we need is our skill. Everyone has skill in here. All we need is skill and space, and I can make that much money in 1 hour. So that's how it started. And then once I kept going and looking for space, I realized we as PTs need to own this. Why aren't we doing this? And why weren't we taught this in school? Sorry, Sky, I went to Marymount. But why weren't we taught this in school? I felt like when I went to school, I was confined by what third parties said. Medicare said I could charge, because I graduated when there was the therapy cap that first came out in Balanced Budget Act of 1999. But that's how I felt like my practice was to be confined, is clearly what other people told me that I could be paid. And the other thing is, this is a good segue, after I had my kids, I realized I didn't make money unless I was there doing the things. So when I had to extend my maternity leave for a botched C-section, I wasn't making the money because I wasn't there treating the patients. So I figured, wait, all I need is space and skill. I need space and skill. I have no overhead except for rent and paying my teachers. So I started hiring teachers in a Pilates studio, yoga studio. And so all of a sudden I started making money without having to be there doing the things and the turning on the things. I could just start a business, and I feel like I didn't know I could do that. I didn't realize as a physical therapist that I could actually be an entrepreneur. Why wasn't I taught that? That's my fault. It's not like I expect that to be force-fed. But I taught PT as a manager last semester at Marymount. Thank you, Cam. My students are in here. And I remember a student coming up to me. Their whole project was to do a business plan. And they came up with the most amazing businesses. And one of them came up to me and said, is it in our practice act to do nutrition counseling? And I said, I don't know. And I looked back at him and said, why don't you hire a nutritionist? And he was like,
So we got 2 minutes left on the clock.
Really? I haven't even gotten started.
Hold on.
Okay.
You're a physical therapist, owning movement, and now you're doing business. And for some reason, money and business feels like a dirty word in this profession. If you walk the hallways, it'll almost be looked down upon. Why is that? And what'd you do about it? Well, you gave the middle finger to that, but why should everybody else also look at that? That's not something to be looked down upon.
I only have 2 minutes, but I want to touch on something that made me somewhat turn my back on this profession a long time ago. What I really didn't like was that we weren't supporting each other. And I felt that in certain environments. And sometimes on social media, you'll feel it and you'll see it. And I don't really understand it because the public is watching. The public is watching us have this identity crisis, so to speak, not really putting out there exactly who we are. So once I turned away from that and went into the fitness business, I kind of like found my footing and I used physical therapy to boost my business. And so now I feel like I'm back. Now I feel like we can earn money. We can put out there what we do. We can be entrepreneurs. We can also deliver skilled care in whatever our interests are. You can deliver skilled care in Pilates, skilled care in yoga, skilled care in CrossFit, weight training, anything. Because we have that higher level biomechanical training and we can make money off of it. Everyone else is. People that have lesser degrees or less training, they're all making money off of it. All of them. Look at SoulCycle. They're loaded. And look at SolidCore. They're loaded. Why can't we do that?
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company, tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com.
Mic drop moment. What's the last thing you'd leave? What would success look like to you from this audience? What would that be?
If everyone breaks out of the mold of what they feel like they need to do, especially from a third party standpoint. I kind of joke about this and it's a nasty thing to say, but like I make money in my sleep. I make money in my sleep because I have people on auto pay and that's not a bad thing. And if all of us could own that, it is an amazing referral source. You can have people coming to your clinic, studio, what have you. I refer people out 5 times a day. I refer, tell me where you are because I have people to refer to you. But like, that's the thing is like, we can make money in our sleep because we're that highly skilled.
Megan Bellamy Brown, love that, thank you.
Like what you hear? Tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes or Google Play.
Megan Brown always fired up. Again, Mind the Mat is the name of her studio. Find her on Instagram as well. She puts out great content consistently. She's always motivated. I love the vibe with her. She's awesome. Again, want to thank our sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing. Leaders in Travel PT, that's AureusMedical.com. Little things too, right? If you're going to move from state to state, that whole licensing thing. You've got a license in New York, but you want to go to California. They walk you right through that process. You can look for housing somewhere too. Where do you begin? Wait, does the place I'm moving to work for, do they cover housing? Do I have to do it? Who does it? They walk you through that. How about continuing education classes, mentorship? How about insurance? How about taxes? I didn't think about that, did you? They did. They have people who cover that. They're the leaders in travel physical therapy. So check out what they have to offer. There's no obligation when you reach out for information with these guys. Just reach out and say, hey, I'm interested. Just interested. They've been doing it for more than 2 decades, so they got you covered. All right. AureusMedical.com. That's AureusMedical.com. The leaders in travel physical therapy. They'll get you taken care of. Heading into the third of three speakers here at Hashtag Unfiltered, Dr. Tim Fox, always motivated. This guy wakes up and when his feet hit the floor, he's on 11. He's just fired up and ready to go. Can't wait for you to hear that. Dr. Tim Fox on Hashtag Unfiltered here on PT Pinecast.
This is the PT Pinecast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, last speaker tonight. 20 years ago, he saw a problem and he said, I will solve it. He saw people not getting the care that they deserved and needed and figured out a way to make sure that they got it, make sure that the care came to them. The CEO and founder, but more importantly, physical therapist, Dr. Tim Fox of Fox Rehabilitation.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. Hey, guys. Good evening. Oh, boy. So here we go. Here's my story. No one wants to hear my story and drag it out for too long, but this is why I'm here. And you got to hear that every good leader. So everybody in this room right now, think about your story. What's your story? If you were stood up here in my shoes, what do you say about yourself? What captivates the audience, right? So I'll give you my story. I'm an immigrant to this country. First, I need a haircut. I know that. So let's get that off our chests. But after I get my haircut, I'm an immigrant to this country. I came here when I was 16 years old.
from England, Sheffield, England, an industrial coal mining town. And once I landed here with my parents, within 6 months, both my parents got a diagnosis of terminal cancer within 6 months of each other, and they died. So do you know what I figured out? I'm not going to talk about physical therapy today. Do you know what I figured out? I figured out hard work. Because we're here to talk about not physical therapy, because we're all brilliant at what we do. Or if not brilliant today, we're going to be brilliant. So put that to the side. How are we going to get ahead? And how are we going to break new ground, right? How are we all going to be? You're all here because you want to hear something, right? You're not here to be entertained. You're here because you want to leave with something that's going to move you. And I'm going to move you because I'm going to tell you my story. Because I was in a shitty situation. And you know what I figured out? My parents died. And you know what I had to do? I had to go to work. I had to go to work and get a job. And stop whining. And don't cry about it. Pick yourself up and get moving. So this is about entrepreneurialism. I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah, I got my doctorate in physical therapy. I'm board certified. Well, not anymore. I got my emeritus this way. I'm not that old. But I couldn't recertify, you know why? Because I've not touched a patient in over 10 years. Well, you're not a physical therapist. Yes, I damn way am. I am, because where are all my Fox team here? Yeah, right? You know what, we support. I went into an area of practice that that no one else wanted to go into, geriatrics. Who the hell wants to go into geriatrics and treat old, wrinkly, dried up people? Who wants to do that? Well, I wanted to be like sports medicine, orthopedics. Those guys are sexy. Where's the sports medicine guys in here in orthopedics? Where are you? Well, let's see, are you sexy? Yeah, they're sexy people, see? They're good looking people. That's why I look like I'm trying to be sexy. So how can you bring sexy back to geriatrics, right? And no, because you gotta do something that you're uncomfortable with. You know, you've seen Gary Vaynerchuk, right? Who's seen Gary? Gary Vaynerchuk. If you've not looked up Gary, look up Gary, because he talks about just doing it. And I was down in the dumps. I could have said, you know what? I'm going to move back to England. I'm going to go live with my cousins. But you know what I did? I got a job at an Italian restaurant, and I waited tables. I was a busboy. And you know what? I think it should be a prerequisite in any kind of healthcare curriculum to wait. Who waited tables in here? It's customer service. It's service excellence. That's what it's about. So we're all in here for one reason, because you want to do something great with your life, right? And my purpose as a speaker is, when I leave this little stage right here, I hope I leave you with a nugget. I've got a couple of words. I got my little book here, and because I'm blonde and I kind of forget. And a couple of key words I want to share with you is hard work. Like, how did I get where I am? I'm fortunate enough to work in I started my own private practice in 1998, specializing in geriatrics, because I saw a white space, I saw a hole. I saw something that no one else was doing. No one else was making house calls onto Medicare Part B. Who the hell makes a house call onto Medicare Part B? An outpatient on wheels. And let's go see our older adult clients in their homes and deliver like high intensity, well-dosed clinical care in their homes, but make money. I want to make money. We're so damn good at what we do. We talked about movements. We own therapeutic exercise, don't we? Ooh, we talked about that, right? No one else owns that in the world but us in this room. And the only thing that we have to do is dose it properly, because the research has been out there forever, right? So I don't know if you've seen me in the newspaper. I got accused 4 years ago of stealing $29.9 million from the government. The front page of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Fox Rehabilitation allegedly inappropriately billed the federal government $29.9 million. And my front page, I was on the front page of the newspaper like this. That was a bad day for me. And you know what? It was, that was tough. I honestly laid down for 2 hours. And I was shaking, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And I said, you know what? I'm tough. And I've gone through, I put both my parents in a grave, for heaven's sakes, when I was 16 years old. And I worked for the frickin' funeral home director and negotiated with him as a janitor to pay for their bills. So I can get through this. Do you know what I did? I started to practice, and I put full compliance and regulatory statutes in. I dotted the I's and crossed the T's. And I said, you know what? I did no wrong. Do right, fear no man. There's the take-home message. Do right, fear no man. And I'll be on the front page of the Philly Inquirer, 29.9 million. And you know what? That 29.9 million, if you go on the OIG website now, it was completely dismissed. But this is the message to you entrepreneurs in this room right now. Like, don't get beaten down by that shit. Rise above it. We're so strong as professionals. We're so good at what we do. And we're undervalued. We're primary non-physician practitioners. It's up to us to lead the way and make our work exciting. Make it exciting to our clients. Dr. Roger Nelson, one of my key mentors, said, therapy should be a time of excitement. Therapy should be a time of excitement, right? And we're the professionals, we're the doctors that own that. Wow, we've got a job to do, right? We've got to pull it together and get our clients excited about it. Hard work. Second point, love. We love what we do, right? You need energy. Here's another question. Can all the salespeople, in the room raise their hands? Oh, that's a grim showing. Who says it? Who knows the answer? What's the answer? We're all salespeople. That's the problem with our profession. We're scared. Get ahead of it. Do you know what my saying is? Promote. And when you've gained so much business that the floors cave in, you don't sit back and have a cocktail, you promote some more. And we as professionals have got to get ahead of that. We're too docile. And you guys, I'm not talking to this room because you're here. We're not docile in this room, but generally as a profession, we're docile. We got to get ahead of it. Look at the chiropractors. They're way ahead of it, right, guys? So listen, this is to all you future entrepreneurs out there, right? Start small. Take a risk. So if you fall flat on your face, what are you going to lose? You get up and dust yourself off, right? And you start over. It's not that bad. We've all gone through way worse in our lives, so start small. Be prepared to fail, because the best things I've ever learned in my life are from my failures. And if you don't, it's part of maturity. I don't think I'm mature at all. But and those that know me know I'm not very mature. The best lessons I've learned in my life are from my failures, and they hurt. They hurt really badly. And cause me a lot of pain. But then I can sit back and relax and apply and reflect of what I've learned and just apply it to make my life better. The other things are two keys to happy living. Two keys to happy living that I run my practice on with my leadership team is happy, well-trained clinicians make good healthcare. Happy, well-trained clinicians make good healthcare. And you gotta take care of your staff. If you're a leader in this room, you gotta take care of your staff. You gotta make sure they're happy. And you as a clinician, as a practitioner, you've gotta make sure you're happy. Because how can you go and visit one of your clients, and if you're not happy and pissed off, like, how are you gonna deliver great care? So if you're not happy in your life, you gotta change it and fix it. Because you can change anything you want. And don't say what if. So if there's students in the room, like, don't say what. Well, what if it doesn't go right? What if it doesn't go right? I'm scared, man. I don't want to take that risk. So what happens if you fall on your face? You get up and you've learned a great lesson, right? So just go do it. Go do it. You gotta go do it. If you don't do it, you never know. And I feel stupid saying that. Such a simple statement up here. But if you don't do it, you never go. But better yet, right? I'm the eternal optimist. What happens if it works? Look at the joy. Feel the joy right now in your heart if something you implement works, and the joy and success you'll get, right? Think about the joy. So I'm going to end on that note because I got pages here. It's terrible.
We got
Jimmy. Help
we
me.
Got hard. We got hard work. We got embrace.
We're finished, right? That's enough, right? I think I made it.
Embracing failure. What would success look like to you from a room like this? What would success look like if everybody, if the students particularly, let's focus on the students, if they listened to what you just said, what would that look like 5-10 years from now for you?
I just want you to go do it, and if I can help you in any way, and I've got a team. I've been in private practice now in geriatrics, and geez, I was criticized that, you know, you can't take students into the I don't use these words at all, but I have to use it for this, the example, into the home health arena. All those folks in academia like said, whoa, you can't go to home health. You can't go to home health. There's not the supervision there. Why can't we build a program of mentorship and sponsorship that supports doctors and physical therapy in the home health arena that's clinically excellent and strong and rigorous? And we build that program. And I've got Dr. King here, that little guy right there. There he is with the beer.
Why you gotta call him little? That's me.
Dr. King is my chief quality operations officer at Fox Rehabilitation. He holds my shit together, and he's 10 times more smart than I am. So thank you, Dr. King. But this is a great example. Back in 2008, Dr. King joined my practice as a student, our practice as a student. And now he's the chief clinical quality operations officer, and he's far way more brilliant than I am. And I know I owe a lot to him. And it's there's potential, there's opportunity, there's lots of great things. So don't not do it. Don't try. And what would I like to get out of this tonight for the students? Just don't be afraid. Hard work. You got to work hard. So there's no doubt about that. That's not going to go away. I don't care what generation you're from. If you don't work hard, you're not going to get it. So just be prepared to work 80-hour weeks and do what it is you have to do. But if you've got a dream and it's in your heart and you have love for it, go do it. And if I can help you in any way, like, we've got lots of great leaders here, lots of great mentors. Just do it. Just do it. Just go do it. Take that chance. And if you fall on your face, get up and dust yourself off and keep cracking on. Because guess you know what the worst case scenario is? I told myself this, and I'll end on this note, Jimmy. When that OIG audit hit, and I said, the government, the big bad government comes in and shuts me down. Worst case scenario, I played them all in my head, right? If they come in and shut me down, I'm a doctor of physical therapy and a damn good therapist, and I can at least make $110,000 a year. Worst case scenario. Worst case scenario. Wrap it up, Jimmy.
Dr. Jim Fox, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together.
Thank you, guys.
Let's hear it for Dr. Fox. So we had three speakers. I can say that's it, go home. But the measure of success, I'll end where I began. The measure of success would be, what are you going to do about it? What are you gonna do with it? What will you do with the passion inside right now if you know there's going to be hard work and you might fail, but you might succeed? Thank you guys for coming out tonight.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
Want to thank Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatrics, sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org.